Matthew chapter 9, I'll read verses 35 to 38. This is God's word. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is God's word. Today, again, is Mission Sunday. I'll come back up in just a moment, and we're going to talk about this passage just briefly as by way of challenge. But I want us to see somewhat today of the face of missions, what missions is. And just to give you a quick definition so you understand what we're talking about here, missions is different from evangelism. Evangelism is when you and I share the gospel with somebody who's our same culture, speaks the same language. Missions is when you have to cross over a cultural boundary and share the gospel. That's what is known as traditional missions. When you go, oftentimes it's to, and most of the time, you're going to somebody who speaks a different language. You're definitely going to somebody who has a different culture. They have a different way of looking at the world, different customs, different ethnic group. When the Bible talks about nations, it's talking about those ethnic groups, those people groups. So missions is crossing from your own culture to go to another culture to share the gospel. And that sharing the gospel, again, is going to take many different forms, many different ways. And the two guys that are going to come up and share just a minute are going to share some of that with you. That's missions, though. And there's a particular kind of missions as well that's called frontier missions. Frontier missions is when you go to a culture group, a people group, that has never had access to the gospel before. There's no church that's been planted. There's no people within that group that really can reproduce themselves as a church. And that's called frontier missions, when you're going into a brand new place that people have never heard about the name of Jesus. So as these two guys are sharing today, just think what missions is you're crossing boundaries. You're coming out of your culture to go into another culture to share the gospel. And Tyler Thompson, who's going to come up first, he's going to tell you a little bit about what he did. But he spent most of the last year traveling around the world and doing just that, going from one culture group to another to share the gospel in so many different ways, by proclamation and certainly by demonstration, is a lot of the things that he did. So I'm going to invite Tyler to come up and just share from his heart what the Lord's placed on him. Thanks, Tyler. Thanks.
Hello? Yeah, there we go. All right, thank you guys so much for letting me come. Bethlehem really just feels like a second home to me. Y'all always treat me like family, so I just really appreciate coming back. And even before I go on, I just want to thank y'all so much for even just supporting me while I was gone, both financially, but even in prayer. Man, it was so felt and so needed. And so I just appreciate your investment in me so, so much. It was extremely life-changing. So I just wanted to thank you. For those of you who don't know what I did over the last year, I went on a trip called the World Race, and it's just 11 countries in 11 months. So every month you move into a different country and a different ministry. So we get to do all kinds of different things, such as minister to child soldiers in Uganda, or to prostitutes in Thailand, or just to preach in Kenya at churches, and do some really, really, really sweet things. It was just a really sweet opportunity for me to go. And I think there's something about the Lord's heart that is revealed when you serve that you don't really, might not get otherwise. And so as we move into servanthood, I'll get onto this a little bit later. But there's something about his heart that's revealed to us because it mirrors his heart. So really what I want to say about missions today, I think missions is a really broad term and it's great. And I think sometimes we're always going somewhere, right? Like, hey, Tyler went 11 countries, that's missions. But man, for me, it's even more than that. Like, there's so many cultures here. Like, man, my family and your family, they have different cultures. And so, man, for me, when I come home, it's a mission. You know what I'm saying? And for me, I'm just going to name just a few things that I learned about the kingdom of the Lord. Like, missions isn't something where we go and just serve just because we want to help people. It's about the kingdom of God coming to earth. In Isaiah 9:7, Isaiah 9 is just a prophecy about Jesus, but it talks about how his government and his peace shall forever increase. It's about his kingdom coming on earth. And Matthew 6, the disciples ask Jesus how to pray. One of the first things he said is what? Your kingdom come. Before he even got to us, it says, your kingdom come. And so we're mirroring, asking him to let his kingdom come on earth. And that's what missions is. It's about us partnering with the Lord to let his kingdom come through us. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me, even as I got to go and just seeing the group of people I'm with and just being like, the Lord wants to partner with us. He invites us into his story. Isn't that wild? We're a bunch of broken people, and we're the very vessels in which he releases his kingdom through. I just think it's absolutely mind-blowing. And so I just say that, not even just all these things I'm saying are probably going to be really basic, but I think they're profound truths as well. And so even just reminding us, guys, that our purpose here, my purpose going, like, it's all the same, is to release the kingdom of the Lord in your work here, wherever you are. Like, I think there's so much liberty and just like freeing you guys, like, go do it. Like, let this be our mindset. Like, I think it's easy to come home and like, hey, I support missions. And so I give money to people and they go. And that's wonderful. Man, I got to see a lot of people and they need Jesus and they need, man, they need clothes and they need food. But when I come home, my eyes are awakened because I see need. I see people with a lot of clothes on and well-fed bellies, but I see need in people's eyes. And so, guys, as we go out, like, missions is the kingdom of the Lord coming. And so we want to partner with the Lord here as well as moving out into releasing his kingdom through us. Yeah, I just think it's really, really sweet that our lives are bigger than ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, he brings us into his story. And I think one of the funny things about what the Lord had to do for me on the world race is sometimes he had to help me get over myself, you know, like, not only what I wanted, but just fear and some other things. And even what my agenda, you know what I'm saying? I think the Lord gives us grace in that. But you guys are vessels of the Most High. Appease me real quick. I'm gonna let you into the world race. So, hey, everybody, welcome in. One of the things the world race really values is that there's power in our words that's easily found in the Bible. And so we declare things over other people and over ourselves because they have power on them. And so I even just want you to say it over yourself. That, like, I am a vessel of the Most High God. Go ahead. Perfect. Now say it like you mean it. Yeah, you are. I think it's really sweet that he not only partners with us, but he trusts us. Like, there's so much grace, and he gives us the Holy Spirit that he's leading us and perfecting us because he trusts us. That, like, he's put you here in Alamance County at this appointed time because he trusts you to help bring his kingdom. Isn't that really sweet? He trusts you guys. Like, you're anointed by him. And so let's partner with him. Yeah, one of the things undoubtedly that the Lord taught me, for sure, probably the biggest thing on the race, and some of the women have heard this, is intimacy with Jesus. This is the basis, guys, for all we do. So, like, I know there's somebody walking in. But the basis for everything we do, guys, in missions and in life, is intimacy with Jesus. In Song of Solomon 1:4, I don't know if you guys have dug much in that book, but it's really sweet to my heart. But it's talking about a beloved, a husband and a wife, really. But in the first chapter, the wife just simply says, draw me after you and let us run together in verse 4. In all the commentaries that I've read on it, it's a picture of drawing into intimacy and running in ministry. And guys, like, that's the basis for what we do in missions and in life, guys, is that we're drawn in intimacy to Jesus and we get to know his heart really well. And then we take it to others. It's all about getting next to him and being close, guys. That's primary. Before we do anything, let's get together and spend time with Jesus and love him and get to know him well. In John 17:3, it talks about how, like, that's eternal life. It's to know the Lord and to know Jesus. Like, that's eternal life, guys. We can get glimpses of eternity right now and in time. So, like, guys, let that be the basis for what we do and be drawn into him. In Proverbs 25:1, it talks about how it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. And so intimacy isn't us just being drawn, but it's us being drawn and pursuing him as well. And so guys, let this be our life, that we pursue missions and we pursue loving others and serving others, but it's out of a place of intimacy and knowing the heart of the Lord and our hearts being transformed into the same. And so that we can't do anything else because it's our heart as well. As we get next to him, our hearts start to be changed. And man, I start to look like my daddy, you know, and after that, like my heart's more to serve. And it kind of starts giving us a different perspective. And we start looking at situations and things differently. I think one thing for me which was really interesting is that on the World Race, I don't know, I think it's really weird. I think I had like some kind of, I don't know, idea that missions was really glamorous. You know, like, it's just kind of funny. Like, we kind of, oh, you're going to Africa. That's so awesome. When you get there, guys, it's really not that glamorous. I remember sitting in Uganda. I was living in a mud hut. We were eating beans and rice every meal. That gets really old. I don't know if you guys know that. Some people might like beans and rice. But I was broken. I was just like, man, people at home, like, they just don't know. Like, this isn't really that cool. Like, I'm like messed up. Like, this isn't that fun. I want to be at home. I want a hamburger, you know, like, it's not that cool. But there's so much grace, and I feel like it's a hard thing. And so for us not to look at it right, like, man, it's going to be an easy thing. We're just going to go serve the Lord. Like, it's hard, but it's so good. And I think the Lord comes and meets us in the place of servanthood and loving him. And man, he gives us the Holy Spirit and he gives us strength to move through, and he helps us get over ourselves, as I was just talking about, and man, our agendas and what we want. And man, I really didn't need a hamburger. Once I got it, it really wasn't that great. You know, like, coming home's funny because you think you want all this stuff, and when you get here, you don't really want it. It's not that great. But yeah, it's just hard. And I think one of the things, guys, is it's really, if you hear nothing else that I say, it's that this world needs missions, okay? It needs it in Africa and around the world, and it needs it here in big, big ways. But my charge to us is, let us be a people who are intimate with Jesus, and let us be people who are seeking after his heart. And out of that place, let's move forward. One thing that I learned about the Lord on the World Race is that what he's looking for is people who are willing. He just wants somebody who's willing, guys. Y'all are qualified if you're willing. If you're willing to be interrupted and your day be inconvenienced, you're qualified. He just wants people who will seek after him and who are willing to be open vessels. And so, guys, let us move forward, guys. Like, this church isn't here just by chance. Like, you're not here by chance. Like, Bethlehem's here for the Altima Hall and the Ossipee community, that the kingdom would come here. And y'all are all anointed vessels to do that. So let us be people who seek after him, who know him well, who are willing. And when it's hard, we lean on him, because he's given us his spirit. And he's faithful, guys. He's so faithful. There were so many times on the World Race, I just wanted just like, I thought my head was going to explode, because there was like so much stuff going on. It just didn't make sense, or it didn't look like it was going to work out. But he's so faithful to us. So guys, my testimony to us today is, go, let's serve and let's love. Let's let his kingdom come through us to this community. But he's so faithful to us. Let us press on into him. I love you guys so much. Bless you. Yeah, it's just a blessing to come and be a part of what the Lord is doing in this place. So let me just pray for us, and then Matt can come. Jesus, Lord, we just love you so much, God. You're so faithful to us. God, you're so loving, and you're so kind, and you're so gentle and gracious. God, thank you for letting us in, God, and just using us and partnering with us, God, and bring us into this big story. God, I ask just for grace, Lord, over us. God, continue to draw us into intimacy, God, as we pursue you. God, I ask just that you continue to fill us up, Lord. Let us go, God. Continue as we draw near to transform our hearts to look like yours, God, that we would go in joy and serve and let your kingdom come through us, Jesus. God, I pray your blessings upon this people and upon this church. God, I ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of you over this people, God, that above all, Lord, that we would know you deeply and we know you well. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Tyler. Great job. I said a second ago that I wanted you to see the face of missions. I think what you're really experiencing is the heart of missions. You're seeing a passion for people who love the Lord and for people who want to serve Him and go and do His work and His will in other places. Tyler, thanks so much for coming and sharing. I'm going to invite my good friend Dil Tamang. Dil, I met, I think, probably here in the U.S. No, I wouldn't have met you here first. I met him in Nepal. I've been in Nepal twice now. And in terms of a person, again, who has a heart and a passion to do what the Lord has called him to do, I've seen that firsthand in Dil. He's an amazing person with an amazing ministry. He's going to come up and share. Just some of you have been asking about this tie. This is from Nepal. I got this on one of my trips to Nepal. It's a little unique, but it has the flower of Nepal on it, which is the rhododendron. So, Dil, come up and share from your heart as well, brother. And you can stand here. You can stand wherever you want. I usually stand here, but you can go where you want. So you can go up there, too.
I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And bring greetings from my family and all the colleagues in the ministry, and also all the Christian believers of Nepal. It's been a so joy and exciting moment for me to be here, come here and visit you all, have fellowship with you. And I'm really grateful to God that I could come over here from the exactly other side of the globe. If we look at the globe, Nepal is exactly the other side, straight away from the United States. And I come from different culture, context. I have different language and accent and all, but I believe you would understand me with this funny accent of English. Well, I need to thank you for your prayers for Nepal in general and to us particularly, and also your partnership in the ministry that has meant us much. And I do not think it would have been possible for us to continue in the ministry had you not prayed and partnered with us, mainly in the training ministry, training of the grassroots leaders and the church planters. Well, as soon as I arrived here in North Carolina, one of the things that I mentioned with Reverend Matt and Tammy was this. Roads are very nice. Very silky and very fine. People are lovely here. I think I was in second heaven. That's what I felt, because I come from a context and a situation that is just the other way around. And I thank God for this privilege. You are very lovely, friendly, helpful, and things here are very well organized, I should say. And systematic, that really surprised me. And indeed, I have updated my Facebook yesterday evening explaining about the streets here. And looking at the streets here in the States, I can guess how lovely and how good heaven would be. The streets in heaven would be. And it's really exciting to me. Things are very strange and exciting to me. And I'm really thankful to God that I could make a visit here and spend some time with you. Let me begin with my testimony. Well, I was born in a very strong and orthodox Buddhist family. My grandfather himself was a priest, Buddhist priest. But I fell sick right after the birth, and it continued for the next 3 years. And my parents did their best, took me to wherever possible, but there was no sign of healing in my body. The sickness continued. It was undiagnosed. Nobody knew about the sickness. But it was God's grace that somebody brought the good news in my village and shared this good news to my parents. And they told to my parents that I would be healed if they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the healer. That was what they were willing to hear for the last 3 years, and they believed in the Lord, and I was prayed for by that man who brought the good news, and I was healed in a miraculous way, and now I'm standing before you. All glory to God. Well, there were 17 Christian families, very ordinary people, very simple people who had never been to school. All of them, 100% of them were illiterate. They were very simple, 17 Christian families. But the conversion was followed by a very severe persecution. My father was beaten up twice. I saw that. I was a boy of just 5 years. I think it was 1970. As a boy of 5 years, I thought what mistake my father had done, that he was beaten up badly. We were forced to eat the things offered to the idols. And as a boy, I had a lot of questions. And lastly, the 17 Christian families were given two choices, either to forsake Christ or leave the village. Since the persecution was so severe, some of the families compromised and some did not. There were four families. One was my father's family. One was my uncle, who was the pastor of that time. Four families decided not to forsake Christ, rather leave the village, and which was a very challenging job. In the countryside, without no road, no electricity, no facility, none of them were literate, even literate. All were illiterate. It was a challenging job for them to leave the village. I still remember it was midnight. My mother woke me up saying, hey, get up. I said, no, I don't want to get up. She said, no, you have to get up. We are leaving this village. Why? I said, no, we cannot continue living in this village. I said, you can carry on, but leave me alone. I want to enjoy with my friends. No, they are not going, she said. Somehow she convinced me. And I woke up in the middle of the night. I still remember we had to walk without torchlight, without electricity. I mean, no road access and all. And it took 2 days to get to the nearest road access. I still remember I somehow could manage to walk, but my brother, younger brother, he could not walk. So that was the first time I saw a vehicle in life. I tested tea for the first time, and it took about 2 or 3 days to get down to the India border to settle down there. And four families together traveled all the way down to south to India border, could not settle there. I still remember we spent a couple of weeks under the trees, and it was springtime, a lot of windy time. And we stayed there for a year, but could not settle there, and we could not proclaim the gospel, even could not tell that we were Christians, because we were scared to be kicked out again. After a year, these four families decided, are you okay with my accent? I do not know. After a year, these four families decided to scatter into four different destinations. My uncle, who was the pastor, who went to a different district, and my father took us to a district called Gurkha. You may have heard this term, the Gurkha, that comes from this district. And my father tried to settle down there and could not share with others that we were the Christians. It took about 2 years, and after 2 years, the village chief, he has the power. Everybody listened to him and obeys him. He came to our family and warned my father, saying, Uncle, you have been here for the last 2 years. You have never participated in this idol worship. You are not one among us. That's not good. And my father, who is very humble, he is still alive, a very humble man, simple man, an illiterate man, and said, oh, brother, come and sit. No, I'm not here to sit. I'm here to warn you. You have to obey the rules. You have to follow the rules. You have to be one among us, so and so forth. And my father dared to tell that he was a Christian. We were Christians. And this man asked the question, what do you do when you fall sick? You never invited any witch doctor. We have been watching over you in the last 2 years. Then this was very good time, I should say golden time, to share the gospel and proclaim that we were Christians. We did not need any witch doctor whenever we fell sick. We could pray with God, and we were healed. So this village chief called the assembly of the village that day and said, "Today onwards, we all will listen to this uncle. None of us will invite witch doctor. None of us will practice these Hindu idols, rites and rituals, but we will follow this uncle. He has the better idea." So that's how the entire village became the Christians that overnight, without knowing who Jesus was, what Bible meant. They didn't know anything, but they became Christians overnight. And it was the job of my elder brother who could read the Nepali Bible cunningly or very slowly. And it was his job to explain the Bible. I do not know how he explained that. My father is still illiterate. He prayed for the sick. People were healed, even epilepsy. People of any kind of disease were healed. And this miraculous healing brought many people to the Lord. And now today, the entire village is Christian now. And there are about 55 churches in and around our village. And I give all glory to God. That's how God used an ordinary man, illiterate man, for his glory. This is the story. And to me, speaking personally, I accepted the Lord when I was 16 years old, while I was going through a training of Campus Crusade for Christ. It was 1982. I accepted the Lord and decided to serve the Lord as full-time worker with Campus Crusade and joined the Campus Crusade in 1987 and continued for the next 10 years until May 1997. And I went to India to do my theological studies and did my BD, Bachelor of Divinity, four-year course. And during those days, the Lord spoke to me in a particular way that I need to do something for the grassroots people, grassroots leaders, those who have never been to Bible school, those who cannot afford to go, those who cannot leave the family behind, ministry behind, and go for 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years. So the Lord spoke to me in a particular way. So I did not go home during the vacations, and he started writing my teaching notes and started a new ministry called Himalayan Bible Study Academy in the year 2002, January the 2nd. And we are now going to complete 10 years on this coming January 1st. And we are thankful to God that he has used us this way. And now today, I'm not alone in the ministry, in this training ministry. We are 14 full-time staff members in the ministry and 18 part-time staffs in the training ministry. Well, our focus is to train the grassroots leaders, pastors, underprivileged pastors, ignored pastors, grassroots pastors, leaders, those who cannot read and write even, those who are semi-literate or just literate. They are not educated, never been to school. So that's our focus, and plant the churches among the oral learners, the illiterate people. Well, the literacy rate in Nepal is only 53.7%. You may guess the situation there. And the storytelling, the Bible storytelling, has been very effective there among the illiterate people group. And speaking about Nepal, Nepal is a small country in between two big neighbors, India and China. It's a kind of sandwiched between these two good neighbors. They have been very good to us, and we are thankful to them because we cannot survive without them, because they are too big, surrounded by them, and they are too big. And the population is about 26.6 million now, and I'm glad to share with you that we, the Christians, are about 1 million out of 26.6 million. Which is about 4%, but the government is again biased. The government says, no, you are 0.45% only, not even 1%. But we claim that we are growing, And we are indeed more than 1 million Christians now in Nepal. And all glory to God, and thank you for your prayers. And it's not possible without your prayer. And the church in Nepal is really growing now. We now have more opportunities than the obstacles. We used to have more obstacles in the last few years because of the Maoist communist insurgency, which claimed 14,000 people's life. We were in mess and chaos, but we now have more opportunities because we are waiting for the new constitution. We do not have constitution. We have interim constitution, and we are waiting for the new one, and we do not know what happens next, what will be written in the constitution. We do not know. That's why this is the right moment that we can proclaim the gospel. No one can hinder us. No one is concerned about what we are doing. The leaders, the political leaders, are busy in fighting there. 601 members in the cabinet, in the parliament. Small country, but 601 members. And to my shame and your surprise, we had 19 different governments, and the king ruled two times in the last 21 years, beginning from 1990. Since 1990, we had 21 different governments in 21 years. You can guess the situation there. No government ruled the absolute term, tenure, that is 5 years. None of them. So that's the situation. That's why we are trying to seize the moment. We are trying to make the most of our time, because this is the right time. As our Lord said, we need to do the work of the Father while it is still a day. When night comes, no one can work. So we do not know what happens next. Now this is the time, less strikes, no curfews at all. This is the right time to seize the moment and do our best and make use of time. So we will appreciate your prayers for Nepal. Now let me share briefly about what I do. As I shared that our focus is to train, equip, and empower the grassroots leaders, underprivileged, ignored leaders who have never been to Bible school, no chances to Bible school, cannot offer to go Bible school. So that has been our priority, to go wherever the people are. Go and train there and then itself, whatever we can. And another way of training people, training the leaders, is bring them for a few months, about 5 months, to stay with us and learn together. Those who can come, those who can offer to come, leave the family for 5 months. And I'm glad that the Lord has trusted me and the team, and we have been entrusted 3 residential Bible schools in Nepal, one in the Midwest Nepal, one in the Central, and one in the Eastern Nepal. And we feel that we are trusted by the Lord, and we need your prayers. Thank you for prayers, because you have prayed and you have sponsored, you have partnered with us, and we could continue the ministry. And I will appreciate your prayers, as we need some more friends, some more partners, particularly for the training center based in East Nepal. And I would request you to contact Reverend Matthew Smith for further details. And I also have brought some brochures, some information for you. So thank you so much for allowing me to share about myself and the ministry and my country. And thank you so much for praying for us and partnering with us. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great job there. Great job. Just to give you a little perspective there, this building is older than really the church, entire church in Nepal. It's that young, and it's been growing that fast in that nation. Let me just leave you with a quick challenge. Thanks, both of you guys, for sharing. And it comes from Matthew 9 again. I won't have you turn back there, but just to share that Jesus was saying there, and this is a lot of what Tyler was saying about having the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ and getting to know him and becoming like him. And Christ had a passion and compassion for those that were lost, those that were sheep without a shepherd. That's the heart that Christ had, and that's why Christ was imploring and commanding his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the field. And Tyler brought up this point as well. In essence, what Christ is doing is inviting you and me into a partnership with him in this ministry. The mandatory thing that we all must do here is, number one, pray. That was the command that Christ gave to his disciples, to pray that he would send laborers into the harvest field. You've heard about the harvest field in Nepal, the harvest field around the world. The world just hit 7 billion people. 7 billion people. Almost 5 million of them claim to not know Christ. Almost 5 billion people in the world do not know Jesus. And probably a third of those have no opportunity to hear about Christ. That's the harvest field there that laborers need to be sent out into. People that have never heard the name of Jesus. People that continue to maybe hear about Jesus but reject him and live their own lives. And many of those, of course, are here in the United States, the mission field that we have here. But one thing we all must do is pray. There's no option there. It's mandatory that we all need to be praying for the church in Nepal. We need to be praying for the church in America, the church around the world. These nations that we mentioned where persecution is going, we must pray. But the other two options that Jesus gave in that prayer, to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into his field. The way I see it, there's two other options for us. You may do them both, but you need to do at least one of them. And this is what the Lord is inviting us into. We need to either send or we need to go. And I'm talking about missions here. We all have evangelism and missions we need to do all around us. And actually, the world is coming to us. If you go to Elon, and there's international students there that don't know Jesus. So the world is coming right to our back door. But in terms of going into these cultural boundaries and crossing these cultural boundaries, what Jesus is saying, you either need to send somebody or you need to go yourself. And again, you may do both. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into this field. So you can be a part of that prayer by sending people to go into these harvest fields. What does sending look like? Well, sending could be hosting a missionary. Sending could be providing funds. Sending could take any number of means. This church has already, Dill talked about the three residential centers that he has. This church has been a sponsor of that residential training center in East Nepal. I pray that we would be able to increase our sponsorship. And by way of doing that, we would be sending out laborers into the harvest field in Nepal. That's certainly one way that could look. Lots of ways sending could look. And of course, there's going as well. And this is something that we all do in some ways. But we also, God may be calling you to go cross a cultural boundary. It might be a cultural boundary where you work. It may be a cultural boundary right here in this community. It may be a cultural boundary in Africa or Asia somewhere. But as Tyler said earlier again, are we available? Are we willing to be used by God to step out of this comfort zone that we have around us? The nice roads that we drive on, the nice homes that we live in. Are we willing to step out of that and really listen to what the Lord might be calling us to do in our lives? So by way of challenge, as we close tonight, we all have got to pray. Let's commit ourselves to praying. But we need to ask ourselves, how can I send those who are going into these harvest fields? How can I go myself? Where is the Lord calling me? What is the Lord calling me to do to send and or to go? This commandment that the Lord has given us. This is certainly goes back to the Great Commission as well. As we go, going is mandatory. Sending is mandatory. Praying is mandatory. These are things that we need to be involved with what the Lord is doing. Thanks again for all of you for sharing. Thanks for all of you being here today. We're not going to close with the closing prayer, with the hymn. We're just going to do with the closing prayer. And just by way of commitment of our hearts, commitment to what the Lord might be doing in your life right now. One thing I would ask you to do as you leave today, some ushers are going to be at the back and at the front here as well. One way we can immediately respond to this is to help Dill. Dill has come, like he said, all the way on the other side of the globe. If you have some spare cash, a spare check, a way that you could help send Dill, and this is a literal sending of Dill, to help him on his way, on his ministry as he goes, to help his ministry. I would appreciate that personally. I know Dill would appreciate it. So just feel free to drop something in the offering plate as you go out. Obviously, that's not mandatory. Maybe the Lord's not calling you to do that, but I would appreciate you helping send Dill along his way with that gift. But as we close in prayer, just let the Lord look into your heart. Be available, be willing to be used by Him. Grow in intimacy with Him, as Tyler was talking about. Be willing to be used and seize the time, as Dill was talking about as well, that the Lord has given us. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time when we can look at what you're doing around the world and have you look into our hearts and really, really break our hearts, God. We need to have the compassion that you have for the lost. And we know that that compassion and that passion has to come from you, Lord. So, Lord, break our hearts. Make us see the world and see others as you see them. Lord, may we see those who don't know you and see them as sheep without their shepherd. Lord, convict us. Show us, God, how we can pray more. Show us how we can get to know you better and have your heart and your mind for those who are lost. Lord, show us how we should be sending. Show us how we should be going. Help us to be available and be willing to be used by you in this process of missions, in this way that you are reaching out to the world, a world that is lost and dying without you. God, help us to be a part of this as individuals. Help us to be a part of this here as a church at Bethlehem, and certainly all the other churches that are represented here today. Help us to be on board with what you're doing in the world as you are sending out your laborers into your harvest field. God, as we leave this place, Lord, help us to continue our worship, to continue our service, to be used by you in all that we do. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go.